Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is the Gospel just read, taken from St. Luke chapter 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan. There's a saying that you can tell the level of civilization of any culture based on how they treat the helpless in their midst. Those in need, the homeless, the suffering, the unborn, the unemployed or underemployed, really anyone who is not in a position of power is in need of mercy. And mercy, beloved, is where the character of a person or society or God really comes into play. Already in Leviticus, at the time of Moses, we see how important mercy is to the character of God and therefore to God's people. The children of Israel were, quite simply, to care for their neighbor. That meant their friends and relatives, of course, but that also meant their servants, the deaf and blind, the poor, the foreigner living in their midst. How they treated these people was a direct result of what they believed about God and how God treated them. If they refused to show mercy to those around them, what they were saying was that they didn't want God's mercy shown to themselves either. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that kind of talk, it convicts me. Holds my sinfulness up before me and for others to see, at least in my own mind. I don't show love as I ought. Neither do you. I want love to be on my terms, with whom I want and in the way I want it. Frankly, my own nature's view of love doesn't really sound like the biblical picture of love at all. But that's the way of love, isn't it? Love does not mean do what you want, to whom you want, whenever you want. Love means doing what the other needs, where and when and how they need it. It may be inconvenient. It may mean sacrifice, even pain, but love means thinking of the other before yourself. One of our hymns expresses it this way, that the character of God is love to the loveless shown, that we might lovely be. This is what our friend, the lawyer, in our text is so upset about. He thought that the law was a means to an end for him. He might as well have said, Lord, I've done pretty good here. What is the least that I can do at this point and still get to heaven? What is a passing grade in this divine quiz show? It's kind of like a child at a dinner table. How many bites do I have to eat? Is 5 enough to get mom and dad off my back? Could I get away with 3? Does it have to be lima beans or can it be the potato chips? I think we can all see ourselves in this lawyer. We all have a tendency to want the path of least resistance. But the problem is that, like the lawyer in our text, we utterly mistake the point of the law and how it all fits together. To show the lawyer this, Jesus tells a parable. And it's a familiar one for us. It's usually called the parable of the Good Samaritan. A man is on his way from Jerusalem down to Jericho and falls among thieves. They strip him, beat him, leave him half dead. So there he is, stuck along the side of the road, utterly helpless and wounded. 3 men walk past him. The first is a priest. The second, a Levite, which at that time would have meant another person, kind of a part of the religious system of the day, let's say a church worker. These 2 men see this half-dead one alongside the road, and rather than get themselves dirty, they pass by on the other side of the road. Now, they may have had really good reasons for passing by on the other side of the road. They would have become ritually unclean. They wouldn't have been able to do their religious duty. Perhaps they were afraid that it was a setup, that they would get robbed as well. Imagine stopping to help someone along the road, and it isn't exactly the nicest neighborhood. You might fear for your own life more than you have sympathy for them. This is why the scariest thing for any police officer is your standard stop someone in traffic. You never know. It's easy to live in that fear. Yes, the priest and the Levite may have had the best reasons in the world for passing by on the other side. They may have even thought that they were keeping God's law by passing by the other side. But the simple fact is that the man needed help. It wasn't about the purity of the priest or the Levite. It wasn't about anything or anyone else at all. It wasn't about how they get to heaven. It was about the fact that this man was dying and that someone needed to help him. Now, before we get to the Samaritan in our story, one more note is in order. When we talk about motivations for good works, that's what the lawyer is really asking, isn't it? What must I do to inherit eternal life? The question is never, what's in it for me? Good works aren't for you. They aren't even for God. Martin Luther once put it this way: God does not need your good works, your neighbor does. When we talk about good works, we're always talking about what is going to actually help those around us in need. That's what the priest and the Levite did not understand. While there may have been 1,000 reasons for not helping the man, the fact is that the man needed help more than anything else. And that is what God had placed them there to do. Back to our Samaritan. When this Samaritan, the third man, the foreigner, comes by, he sees the man and has compassion. Compassion meant that the half-dead guy on the road and his needs, all of a sudden, just like that, became more important than anything else. I'm sure the Samaritan had things to do. I'm sure it was a tremendous inconvenience for him to help this man. But he did it. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for the man. That's compassion. That is mercy. That is love. What's more, when they came to the inn, the Samaritan even went one step farther and said, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back." How much is this stranger worth to the Good Samaritan? "Whatever the price, I will pay it. Here's my credit card. There's no limit on it. Here's all the numbers. Whatever it takes." Who knows what the consequences of his mercy will be in the future? The saying is, no good deed goes unpunished. But the Samaritan does it anyway. It's irrational. It's a gut feeling that moves him to show mercy to this man on the road. It doesn't matter. The man is saved. His life is saved, even if it doesn't make any sense, and even if the Samaritan gets nothing out of the exchange. Now, this is the point in most Good Samaritan sermons where you get the "go and do likewise" line about how we are to go out and show mercy to our fellow man. Obviously, that is true. But that isn't the point of the parable. The point of the parable, beloved, is that doing good is never about yourself. It's always about the one who needs help. And do you know who needs help more than anyone else in the world? You do. You know who lies along the road of life, half dead and in desperate need? You are. Do you know whose wounds would lead to death without a radical, irrational intervention?